Romans today, Romans 8, 31 to 39. We're going to finish out Romans 8 today. This is our Easter mini-series here, and we'll be back into Acts next week. So, Romans 8, 31 today. What is love? Do we know? What is love?
For
any kind of love. If we were to go around the room and define it, right, we'd get several definitions, wouldn't we? Probably would. We'd get several views. We'd have several different examples of love. This is what love is to me. We point something out. Maybe it's marriage. Maybe it's kids or grandkids, whatever it looks like to you. Maybe it's that favorite movie or song. Maybe that's what you point to. That's love. Your favorite movie or favorite song, that one that's stuck in your head, though oftentimes that's not your favorite one. You wish you could get rid of that one at all costs. I do that to my family often at home, just seeing something weird out of nowhere, and they get stuck in their head for the rest of the day. I'm good to them that way. Maybe it's a favorite food or dessert. Maybe that's what you'd point to for love. If the definition of love was a dessert, which one would it be? Is it candy bars? Something more elaborate? Cake? Cookies? What was it? Peach cobbler. Specific. There it is. I don't know. I think I would say anything outside of cherry pie or maybe no-bake cookies. You guys don't really know what love is if you're not naming one of those things. Today we're going to take a look at love. It's a little different kind of love. It's love as an offering from the cross, according to Paul here. That's what we're doing in Romans 8. This love is unmatched and eternal. This love is indescribable and life-changing. Also, being offered this love, realizing this love, is a must for our eternity. In two parts this morning. Love shown in God's courtroom, and love shown in our lives. Romans 8, starting in verse 31. Let's stand together as we read God's word. Verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we're being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, this morning we have to gather as your people. And we just ask now that you write our hearts and our minds for what you have for us today. Help us dive in and read your word and help it reign over us and apply to our lives as we leave. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So we've reached our final section here in our mini-series on what the cross has offered us, according to Paul in Romans 8. I hope it has been beneficial in some way these past few weeks for you, as it has for me. On your handouts today, you don't really have a map or anything, but you do have a diagram, and it list, if you can read it in fine print. If not, that's okay. It kind of lists where Jesus was over the 40 days after his resurrection. Who saw him? What scriptures reveal this to us? Where people actually witnessed the risen Jesus before he ascended. That's what's on your handout today. Today has us finish in Romans 8 while looking at the love of God. This passage is a summary, actually, not only of chapter 8, which we've been looking at for 4 or 5 weeks now, but actually chapters 5 through 8, because 5 through 8 is kind of its own section in the book of Romans, and even the entire book of Romans up to this point. That's what this section is today. Every point made in every chapter leading us to this section today. What are these points made in Romans? Well, they can be boiled down, though we fall short of understanding fully if we're to rely merely on a summary. So read the whole book of Romans. Read Romans 8. Read the whole book. But a summary would be, all have fallen short of God's righteousness. God is righteous in his wrath against sin, against this fallenness, this falling short. God is righteous in sending his Son to pay the cost of this fallenness, and we are righteous through faith in this Son. Amen. Everything written gets us to these points. These points bring us to our text today. The cross offers love. Let's dive into this. Love shown in God's courtroom. Our text today presents a series of questions, right? Look for the question marks. We see them in our Bibles. They're there, but they're not really meant to be answered. The questions are meant to point to an answer. That's what they're doing today. So we have God's righteousness and God's judgment. We've been looking at this. And in our text, we have questions to prove a point. Sounds like a courtroom to me. Sounds like Paul is arguing a case for us. The first four verses today point to what Jesus has done for us in this courtroom of God. What are the questions in our first four verses? Did you find them? Who can be against us? Who can bring a charge? Who can condemn? David echoes these in the Psalms when he writes down in Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, so whom shall I fear?" Let's go through these quickly. First, Paul says if. We've been looking at this word if for 5 weeks now. Paul says if here. So it's here again. If God is for us, who can be against us? Our if here again serves as a divide between belief and unbelief. If God is for us, who can be against us? If you hold the God of the universe, the God and creator and sustainer of everything, if you hold him to be with you, then who do you think can stand in your way? That's the question. Now, this question is not meant to say nothing will ever stand against you. We know this to be false, and Scripture at every turn tells us, warns us of the tribulations and trials that we will face if you are his. It is not stating that all paths are cleared when you believe. That's not it. Our verse does point to you being given everything. That's what it says in verse 32. But that's not everything you want, but rather everything you need. And this everything you need is most importantly, and above all else, your salvation, your restoration, your gift of eternity in heaven. That's the everything you need. We like the sound of all paths clear. We like that. But in reality, we know persecution fills the road of a believer. Suffering covers the path of the faithful. So it does not mean nothing will ever be there. What it does mean is that whatever you run into, whatever is in your way, whatever is bringing you down, will not remain in the end. God wins every time, and those who have been deemed righteous by the death of the Son on the cross participate in this victory too. Your eternity cannot be touched by what tries to stand in your way if you are His. You will hear this a lot today. If you are His. Next, not only will nothing stand in the way of God and His people, but you cannot even be charged. The payment that was made on that cross and the grave that was overrun means no charges can stick to those whom the payment has been applied.
Amen.
Romans 4:25, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Our text also tells us this why. It says, because it is God who justifies. What does that mean? Well, it means that the very judge who has brought the charges upon you has now justified you through the giving of His Son. It means made right by God. It says here, if you are God's elect, which means you have faith in Jesus, means you have the Holy Spirit, means your life tells a story, and that story points to Jesus. Elect is another one of those words that rubs us the wrong way, but we looked at this last week. It was the unbreakable chain, and it simply means God knows it, and God does it, and when God knows it, and God does it, nothing can take it away. You have been chosen by God, which means the charges against you have gone away. Next is condemned. Who can condemn you? Well, we should know the answer to this by now, right? And the answer is no one, right? Wrong. Who can condemn you? God can condemn you. God can condemn and does condemn. We know this because not everyone goes to heaven, right? People are condemned. There are some who have been condemned. Some who have tried to stand in God's courtroom alone. He condemns, but also He has sent His Son. Our text says, you are not condemned because the one who has the authority to condemn died for you instead. Then He was raised from the dead. Then He took His seat at the right hand of God. And now He decides if you are condemned. The one who holds the power also is the one who sacrificed Himself. And your faith in this one means you are condemned no more. That's what it means. There is now, therefore, no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is how we started our study of Romans. It was the very first verse in Romans 8. And it's here where we still stand. If you are His. This statement, no more condemnation, also reveals that we were under condemnation, right? If it is no more, that means it used to be. We were all condemned. All had fallen short. All were in line to be judged. This is difficult to understand for us because we are all pretty good, seemingly, in comparison to the atrocities that happen in this world every day. We are pretty good. So how could we even be condemned? Well, the answer is we're all falling short of the glory of God, right? The answer is Adam sinned, so we have all sinned. The answer is we are not perfect. That's the real answer. Because perfection is what is demanded by the perfect God. And it took God on the cross to offer us perfection. Made perfect by the perfect sacrifice. That's how we were once condemned, but condemned no more. How can we see this? Well, let's say you were an avid skydiver. We have any of those in here? No? I was for sure we'd have one. Thought maybe it was Eddie. Avid. It means you're a professional skydiver. You teach it. You do competitions, whatever that looks like. I don't know what's competition skydiving look like. You're going through rings in the air. I don't know what that looks like. When someone needs something done in this area, they call you. This is who you are. Now you jump out of a plane, and you do so without a parachute. No parachute, no device to slow you down. Does being the best help you now? Does being the expert help you now? No matter how good you are, you need that parachute, right? You got to have that device to keep you slowing down instead of stopping when you hit the ground. You need to be able to stop before you hit the ground, right? It'd be a good thing to have if you're an expert in skydiving. This is us without Jesus. No matter how good you think you are, no matter what your level of expertise is or knowledge or selfless acts, we're all hurtling toward our judgment without Jesus. He is our parachute. No chance apart from Him, but with Him, no chance of condemnation. A parachute that never fails. Do we get this? Do we realize that the love shown for us in that courtroom, do we realize what it was? If you are His, if your loved ones are His, pray for the courage to make sure today. We have to know, because guilty forever or condemned no more are the only two options. And it is based on not on who you were, not on what you have done. It is based in your faith in the Son. Are you His? You have to know the answer. His love for you offers the answer. Let's move from the courtroom and into our lives. Love shown in our lives. There's really only one question in the second half of our verses here. It is, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Who can do that? Well, we just covered in a pretty thorough fashion that no one can do that, and we praise God for that, but that's not the focus in our second half. We've now left the courtroom of God, in which He was our prosecutor, but He was also our defense, and now we're peering into our own lives. The court proceeding revealed to us that the judge is also our Savior, so we are secure. What about the mess that is our lives? Well, our text here lists a whole bunch of things in our lives, sins and desires and worldly obstacles that will try to separate us. Then it gives us a psalm that does not paint a pretty picture. Then it reveals to us, through His love, all things are conquered. This love that we focus on and hold on to and hope in is this love that created us and sustains us and saves us and will glorify us in the end. We're going to get to the love, but first the things standing in our way. What are they? Well, the text calls them tribulations or distresses. It calls them persecutions. It points to famines or nakedness or shame. That's what nakedness is here. It's shame. And danger and sword, which is a type of danger or death commonly in the Bible, the sword. This is the list, and none of us want any part of this list, but nowhere is it written that salvation somehow removes these from your life, so we must prepare for them and be ready to push through them. This is why Paul quotes Psalm 44 here. It's verse 36. Every time it says, as it is written, he's going to quote something previously said in your Bible. So he quotes it here to remind everyone that the sufferings of this world is not a new concept. Sheep, or God's people, have been slaughtered or persecuted since the very beginning. It's not a new phenomenon, and we should not be surprised by it. Jesus Himself said, right, if they come after Me, they will come after you. Those who follow Me will be treated like Me. How was He treated? An enemy. A sheep to be slaughtered, and He was actually slaughtered. We live in a world, don't forget this, we live in a world that marched their Savior to the cross. So you cannot expect smooth sailing if faith is your ship you're sailing on. Specifically, what is it in your own lives that falls on this list, which means its only purpose is to drive you away from your Savior, put a divide there, though if you are His, then it will also be used by Him to grow you instead. What is it? On a personal level, what is it? You're struggling with your career, maybe? Struggling in relationships? Struggling to be social at all? Struggling with your health? Struggling with fears, and there are many in this world we live in today. Struggling as a parent or a spouse, struggling in your own sins. Sins that you do not like, but cannot keep yourself from. Keep falling back into. Do you have your thing in your mind? Maybe it's more than one thing. Paul here does not say that thing owns you. Paul here does not say good luck with defeating that. What he does say is, you are a conqueror. You are a warrior. Your strength is unmatched. How? Through Him who loved us. It's not that it'll go away. It is also not that you are alone. It is that your Creator and Sustainer stands with you and guides you, sometimes drags you when you need Him the most. The Son on the cross and the empty tomb and your faith means His Spirit is within. And if His Spirit is within, then conqueror is what you are. Lean into it. Own it. Embrace it. Get off the floor of your life and back into the fight for the very souls of the world. Your own soul. You ever been watching a show or a movie and think you know exactly how it's going to turn out? You know exactly who the bad guy is. You got it all figured out. And then in the end, you're wrong. You're way wrong. You're surprised. Have you had that happen? Most of us might be like, who, me? Never. Did you just say I was wrong? I don't think so. Me too. I've never been wrong either, so we're a good crowd to be together. Just don't pay attention to any of the comments down front or in the back there. Never been wrong. Well, you're going to have to struggle to imagine that there was a scenario that you have been wrong in your life somewhere. I know it's a struggle. You were surprised. What God is telling us here is that you will be surprised. How? What you're going through is not who you are. What you are carrying is not who you are. Where you have been is not where you are going. The love of God makes it so, and no matter how certain you are of your fate, of your sufferings, He is with you, and if He is with you, then you are a conqueror. How do we get to this? Well, first we realize this truth. You are His, and you have His strength. You are His, and you have His strength. Then we read His Word, because that's where He speaks to you. We pray to Him because that's where you're connected and sustained by Him. You give up your sins to Him. You tear them out if you have to. They are trying to destroy you. And you gather with His people. You worship His holy name. No better way than to loosen the grasp that the world has on you than to stop leaning into it and to lean into God's people instead. Side note, this cannot be done from your couch.
Amen.
You must be with God's people. Christianity cannot be walked out, lived out on your own. It just cannot. So get here. And then help others to do the same. If you've made it out of this life we speak of, these struggles, this toughness, and your joy abounds, that's where you are at in your walk right now, then take time to lead someone else through as well. Your story will help others. Your faith will help move others. This is how we conquer together. Do we do this is the question. Do we lean in when others need us, or do we turn away? Do we go out and find out why that person in your life is not here with you today, or do we just wonder why? Talk about the possible whys instead of being the church for those who have not made it to church. Saying that someone should be here without actually knowing the why is not the love we discussed today. Do you know what God did when you strayed from Him? And you did. When you chose not to come around Him, and you have. When the whole world went this way, He sent His Son. He sent to carry His love. He sent Him to lead us back. He sent Him to die. Scripture says we only love because He first loved us. If this was done for you, then what should you do for others? Are you His? No more important question than this in your life. Are you His? And second, have you shared this love? Who do you need to share this love with again? I want to close with our last two verses today. I'm going to read them. I want you to really feel them. Let them in. Let them wash upon you. Forget about what's on your mind for a moment. Forget about where you're going after this, what appetizer you think you're going to order from wherever you're headed. Let God speak to you. Here it is, verse 38. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Do you hear that? Did you let that settle upon you? Where are you in your life? Some mountaintop experience or some struggle in the valley? Where are you in your faith, walking tall or barely holding it together? What I'm telling you today, and what Scripture has told us today, is that none of what you're going through, and some of it is immense, no words for what you carry, but none of it can separate you from the One who loved you so much that He came to earth to die for you. Amen. To defeat death for you, to send His Spirit to you. None of it can separate you from this if you are His. There will be highs and there will be lows in your life. We are promised this. We're also promised an eternity full of endless joy, with suffering nowhere to be found, if you are His. If you are not, the cross offers this hope for you today. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You will be welcomed home today, Spirit-filled, and called a son or a daughter today. Finding there is no more condemnation for you today. Are you His? Do you live like it? Bring any burdens at all as we sing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this time together, and we thank You for Your holy word. We thank You, Father, that we've spent these weeks in Romans 8, and we can see what Your cross has offered us. Many, many, many more things than what we've covered these past few weeks, Father, but let us dwell upon them. Let us realize who You were and who You are and who You will continue to be for us. If we are Yours, Father, help us figure this out today. Help us cast aside all our doubts today, all our fears today. Help us have the courage to leave this place as being one of Yours And this means gathering other people to you. This means the gospel message carried by us today. Help us remember the cross and the empty tomb in this way. It is not just for us, but the whole world. But the whole world needs it from us today. Be with us now as we leave. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.